So, welcome to session 6. Okay. Alright, so at the top of the handout, the previous session spotlighted the unchanging Father of Lights, who is always holy, always righteous, always loving, always wise, and never tense. He is the ultimate source of all good gifts that we experience in life, whether we recognize him or not. The greatest gift of all is the regeneration of the individual, a spectacular spiritual event that is birthed in the heart of God and is brought forth by the Spirit of God upon the Word of God, doing the work of God, drawing the soul to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So that's just a rough paraphrase of where y'all were last week. John gave me his handout, and I poked around on that a little bit. So we're looking this week at James chapter 1 and 19 through 25. So if somebody could read 19 through 25, James chapter 1.
My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and then, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Thank you. You guys need to hand out.
Thank you.
Okay. So the first question I have for you here is, how does James set up this section? What do you see in that first verse?
Should have an attitude of listening.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, know this. Yeah. That's kind of like Jesus when he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, there's a real emphasis here. It's just a signal that something really important is coming. So it's kind of a wake-up call in case we're not awake. And there's no excuses. Everybody had an extra hour. Okay. All right, so then it goes on and says, let every man be quick to hear. Now, how do we understand quickness? What is the substrate for that? What is the platform for...
I have the Amplified version, and it says, a ready listener.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. So you are tuned in.
To me, that means focus.
Focus.
Really focus, because sometimes when you're visual, we learned that from Rachel, who's impaired. She said the visuals, people are looking all around you. When somebody's talking, you're thinking about all this stuff that's in your peripheral vision.
Okay.
To really focus. She doesn't have vision, she just has hearing. So she focuses on what people say.
Wow.
And to me, that's what this means. Really focus. Really don't look at anything else.
Okay.
Don't let your mind go
in all different directions. Yeah.
Undivided attention.
Right.
Good.
Yeah, be aware of your mind being able to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the way you said it, tune in, though.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the old AM radios in the car where you start to hear it.
Right.
You're hearing a little bit of it, then it fades out. And it's gone. But you keep tuning it until you're spot on, it's crystal clear.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's saying here is that type of a thing. You will not look at anything. You will not hear anything else except for what is coming here right now.
Good. All right. So anybody else? That's pretty much it.
I was just thinking, it's like this whole, maybe I'm jumping ahead, but it's like this whole progression is backwards to what we normally do. We normally get angry, then run our mouth and then listen to God.
God's
flipped the whole thing around.
Or
it's like, listen to me first.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Then your anger becomes righteous. That's the problem, is we tend to get angry just based on emotion. Yeah. But if we listen to God and hear what he says, it's to me, it's like a flip-flop on what we actually do.
That's so excellent. I totally agree with you. So what is to be heard? What, and you're really kind of jumping down to verse 21 with this. What are we to be listening to? I mean, you can give a general answer, but there's a specific answer in verse 21 that is, we're going to spend some time on.
You know, I use, before you go to 21, I use 19 for driving in winter. When you're driving in ice, be focused, slow to turn, to brake.
Yeah.
So.
What does it take? Actually, I skipped that. What does it take to be slow to speak and slow to anger?
Discipline.
Discipline, for sure.
Self-control.
Humility.
Self-control.
Humility.
Humility.
Because you always
want to
hear. So driving in ice, you know, your focus, you drive slower, you brake slower, you turn slower.
Yeah.
So I use
verse 19.
Right.
Good.
Yeah. Also desire. You know, you have to desire, because you know if you slow down and listen, you're going to hear something.
Wow.
And otherwise you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's the slowness to speak and slow to anger. And we're going to get back to where Mark was taking us. There's a Proverb 10:19. Do you know that one right off the top of your head?
Put a guard over my mouth. Oh, no. 10:19. Is that?
No, 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is prudent.
That's what Yogi Berra says.
Is that what he says?
Yeah. He says, when he was in the higher up, he says, all you got to do is keep your yap shut and they think you're smart.
Yeah, there's another proverb, like even a fool is considered wise if he doesn't open his mouth.
Yeah.
And then
that was a big one for me.
You may not get much participation.
Ecclesiastes.
That's it, Aaron.
Ecclesiastes. It's better to be quiet, you're stupid, to open your mouth, or move all down.
Ecclesiastes 5 says, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hasty before God.
Oh, my God.
For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few.
Whoa. What is that? 5 what?
5:2.
Man, that's better than any of them.
Proverbs 5:2.
No,
Ecclesiastes.
And Solomon says that again in Ecclesiastes 9. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools.
Jeez.
A lot of wise saying from Solomon.
Yeah. Also, that's what I liked about what you said about quick to anger and such, because the way we do it with emotion, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Comes right after that. And what do we do when we first start to get in? It's all of our emotions. We want to fight. We want to start to get involved with something sometimes. You know, the adrenaline kind of kicks in.
Yeah.
And the wisdom is so much better than whatever we come up with.
Yeah.
Just by listening, being quiet, like you said.
So where do we get the power to respond in this way to the world that is in our face? You can say it.
I'm not saying anything.
Oh, you want to be considered wise?
No, it comes from a pure heart.
Yeah.
If your heart is, you really want to seek God.
Yeah.
And you know, he'll give you the power.
Yeah.
To do it.
That is.
To be quiet
and
to listen.
Yeah, this is all the fruits of the Holy Spirit here.
Right.
Self-control, humility, You know, attentiveness, focus. I mean, these are.
And he'll keep you. He'll also give you that power to see into the heart behind the words. Whatever the words are saying may not be what's really going on.
Yeah. Wow.
And so you'll get the other. You'll get what's really going on too.
Enlightenment.
Enlightenment. Yes.
It's kind of like that. What you had, Di had a friend that the two of them would be speaking. They'd be saying almost the same thing, but neither one could but neither one could really grasp what the other one was trying to say. Remember, with
way different temperaments. So we'd say, okay, so could you say that a little different? I didn't understand.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, really.
It was
a true story. Yeah. She was a blue sky person in the detail, so I didn't get what she was saying.
Blue sky.
So I get to learn. Yes, very intuitive.
Yeah, look at me. All right, well, let's go to verse 20 now. This is an interesting verse. And for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. And my question is, you know, James is clear that the anger of man cannot work the righteousness of God. Why do you think it's the case?
Man's anger is all about man.
Yeah.
You're not listening to the Spirit. It's nothing about God. Right. It's that me part.
Yeah.
And so we can't be doing God's will if we're just concentrating 100% on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So you realize that the anger does not run with any of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Angry love, angry joy, angry humility. You just can't get there. So it doesn't work because of the company that it keeps emotionally. It just, anger is, and you know, gosh, heaven knows how much anger churns through your life in a week, and every time you go,
yeah.
I mean, what's your experience? Does that ring true?
There's Jesus' righteous anger.
Well, that's the next question. Yeah. Oh, before we get there, though, what does it's saying it will never work the righteousness of God, but what does the righteousness of God work? Anger can't work that righteousness, but what is the fruit? What do you see when the righteousness of God is at work in somebody?
There's repentance.
Yeah, definitely.
Fearlessness. There's a fearlessness when somebody is operating in the righteousness of God. You know, they know that they've got to stand up and say something.
Yeah. And good.
And in our country, we've kind of been told, no, shut up. Don't say anything. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case.
Yeah.
It's not politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the buzzword. I have Micah 6:8 there. Does someone want to look that up?
I have it here. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Mm. Humbly, yeah, dear God.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's many things you could plug in here, but... Aren't those beautiful, those three?
Yeah. That's a good song.
Yeah.
Ah, I sing
know.
That.
Oh, yeah. He has shown you,
right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, what is good and bad. Okay, I'm sorry. Ignore that, please.
We should sing before we start.
So, yeah, it's definitely, there is an aroma and a beauty that you will not miss when the righteousness of God is truly working through someone.
But I think people of the Spirit will see it. Other people
right.
might not see
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the secret language. No, it is. It's really cool. Think about it. Yeah? It is. It's a secret. I mean, it's too bad it's a secret, but it is a secret. I mean, this just doesn't come out of anywhere. Comes from the living water, that is inside of every true believer.
So. What are you talking about? Are you talking about righteous anger?
No.
We
haven't gotten there yet. We're just talking about the righteousness of God.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You need to keep your mouth shut.
Yes. Say your foot.
If I kept my mouth shut, you would have thought I was smart, and I didn't know what was going on right there.
All right. Well, we can't resist it anymore. Is it possible to have righteous anger?
Yes.
Is that an oxymoron, or is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me about it. How does that unfold?
Well, Jesus.
Jesus had righteous anger.
Right.
Didn't he? Yeah.
So. Overturned tables.
Right.
But so can we, but it has to be, and it's kind of like how you've got it down here. Is it possible to have righteous anger? It can only happen when you have the righteousness of God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's got to be the foundation.
That's it. Because righteousness is one place.
Yeah.
That's Christ. That's God. Yeah. That's where the righteousness is. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that, then you cannot perform God's will in righteous anger.
Yeah. So in the heat of the moment, how do we escape the anger that is not nice?
Like Harry said, we keep our mouths shut.
Keep our mouths shut, yeah.
You know, not to us.
I think of Martha and Mary. You know, she was getting really riled up there.
Okay.
You know, like really riled up. And all of us women understand that. And when you're serving and there's too much pressure and the time is up and the thing has to come out of the oven. And she was very, very, very angry. But she went to Jesus with it. And I think that's what we have to do is to understand.
Yeah.
You go to Jesus with it and he'll give you a word. And he gave her a word. That changed your life,
probably. Yeah.
So it's not like you go and condemn yourself and go, you know, I'm really angry and this is horrible and all that. You just go to the Lord and he gives you something in his word that just, like, as you would say, knocks your socks off.
Yeah.
You'll never be the same.
Yeah.
Kind of.
That's good. I love that one. Because I think that is the key. You've got to take, we are just trip hammer anger people. Anyway, if something happens, somebody cuts you off in traffic or, you know. Mm. So it has to be the second.
But sometimes you don't even have to go to the Lord. I mean, because if you spend time with the Lord and you get off track, the Lord zips. Like the time that, you know, I thought, oh, free stamps, you know, it's not canceled. And I start ripping it out, and the Holy Spirit said, you're stealing. Oh, I didn't think about that, Lord. You know, stealing from the government, even though the government's so crooked. You know, but you know that, you know, I mean, sometimes God just zaps you.
Yeah.
So it's so cool. Thank you, Lord.
You know, Sam wrote, was talking at Revelation 2, and it says that, you know, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that's, I think, righteous anger.
Okay,
you know,
good.
Where's that?
Revelation 2:2. But it's to reject evil.
Yes.
You know, it's to stand against it.
Yeah.
In whatever form that is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But the thing is, because that's one of my favorite verses. Oh. I don't know, in today's world, I just feel like we have to.
You have to stand against.
But then it's like, but I have this against you. You've lost your first love.
Right.
So that's the problem.
It has to come first.
So you have to really be aware when you're getting all fired up about something.
Right.
You can't let that consume you. You've got to go to the Lord.
So it goes
so
back
to the balance.
So what you said, you have to be righteous with God first.
Right. Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to have passion for the righteousness of God, isn't it? And you know, if something happens and you are inspired to just be angry, you've got to back off and go to the Lord.
Right.
Because there is a righteous anger that, you know, God has emotions and we are made in his image. And he got a little bit angry through the scriptures. So, but always, you know, it's kind of like judgment. Judge not lest you be judged. Remember, if we are in a position where we are discerning something, we go to prayer for the situation or for the person, don't we? Mm-hmm. So if the anger comes, go to the Lord and pray over this issue that you are aware of that is making you angry. I mean, you can diffuse that that anger impulse by going to the Lord and praying for the situation. I mean, I don't know. Any other thoughts on how you navigate?
Well, the Lord says, you know, love your enemy, pray for those yes. who despitefully
yeah.
use you.
Yeah, there you go.
Pray.
And
I mean,
that's it.
I mean, you
totally.
Just can't go get a sword and chop somebody's ear off.
Yeah.
Like Peter did. I mean, our government's so bad, and it's like, what do we do? You just got to go to the Lord.
Yeah. Government's on
get
the
him, Lord.
That's the other thing is that, as it says in Psalm, be still. Mm-hmm. You can't hear if you're too busy talking and yelling.
Yeah. Yes.
I think what helps, too, is to understand where the battle really is.
Okay, go with that.
It's not a fleshly battle.
Right.
It's a spiritual battle, yeah. and that's where it really is.
Yeah.
And when you understand that, it diffuses it for me anyway. It really does.
Yeah, good.
It's the enemy. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be in that state where nothing is effective.
Yeah. Excellent.
So.
Yeah. All right, let's look at verse 21. It says, therefore, on the basis of all of that, put away all, this is the Revised Standard, I know it's different in some versions, therefore put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So my question is, how do we really carry out that imperative? I mean, that's a pretty comprehensive command that we're getting here. How does that really happen in real time for us?
By spending time with God.
Yeah.
Planting His Word and having it rooted in us.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very important word, that implanting. And we're going to spend some time with that. Well, Tansy actually already answered it. In that moment, we have to turn. We have to turn.
Be still.
Yeah.
Know that I am God.
Yeah.
So the truth is, we always try to take back control.
Yeah.
You know? I know I do.
Yeah.
Or to get the last word.
Yeah.
I have a problem.
No comment.
See, you're wise. You're really wise. Yeah.
But all I could think of is 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, it's not the enemy, it's us. We are the one that need to repent, because the Lord said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, you know, and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land.
Yeah.
It's not if these bad guys will turn, it's if we, his people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
What's the verse that says, what's in the heart comes out the mouth?
Yeah.
Is it a proverb or
something? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
I think it's in John.
It's in the Gospel.
It's in the Gospel.
Matthew, maybe.
There are so many lukewarm Christians. You know, they think they're Christians, and then you're half in the world and half in the Lord, and they're not really.
So there has to be a turning away from all of this, and what? Turning
to the Lord.
To.
Committing to the Lord.
Yeah, we have the ability to turn.
Right. We have a choice.
Yeah, we have the choice to do it, so they don't. So there's no point in that.
Right.
But we have the ability to turn, and we can do that.
Right.
Reminds me of what Paul says in Colossians. Chapter 3, yes, it says, if you're risen with God, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated, right?
Yeah, that's a great verse.
Yeah. I mean, if, then, that's a big if.
Yeah.
So. You used to walk in these ways in the way you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of such things as these. This was the homework Harry had us do in the Bibles that we had to memorize. Colossians 3:1-10.
Hey, that's a very nice section to know, written on your heart. So, how does the, I mean, what quality of the heart is God looking for in that verse 21? We're putting away, or we're turning away from worldly grunt. But what?
Meekness.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? What does that bring to mind?
Humility.
Humility.
Gentle.
Yeah.
Aware you're not the savior he is.
Yeah.
Aware that you're just his creation.
Everything boils back to what we started with in verse 19. You know, if we are focused, we're quick to listen.
Yeah.
And slow to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's at.
Yeah, it takes humility to be quick to listen, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
And zip your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the NIV says that. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted.
Oh, so there, humble is right there instead of meek.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
But I think it points out to what has been said about the fact that the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent.
Yeah.
It really is. Basically, if we're not keeping our eyes on the light, that's all we're going to see.
Yeah.
It's all around us.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
Psalm 119, 11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Really?
I think it's important, too, in this day and age where traditions get changed orally, like churches are watering down right now.
Mm.
I think in verse 18 he says he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. This is the word. So anything you hear, he's talking about, go back to the written word.
Yes.
Don't listen to somebody who says something.
Yeah.
If you question it, you have to check it out, especially today.
And what is the adjective in front of that that's so important? We've already spoken of it somewhat. It is the, what kind of word is it?
Implanted.
Now tell me about that. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's like the psalm. Hidden
in your heart.
And that's preventative.
Yeah.
That when that's inside of you, it prevents you from going haywire.
Yeah.
Into your own
it's
anger.
Rooted in you.
It's rooted in you.
Right.
So
roots, it's stuck.
Yeah. And so whenever there's roots, there's what?
Fruit.
Oh.
You know what I'm thinking of when you say implant? I think of how a tick was implanted in me one day.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Boy, that's a nice positive spin. The fruit is
flying. You've got to turn it
that's
to the good
there's always
part.
Been ticks around.
Yeah, it is.
I took a shower and pestilence. Tick and I pulled
it out. So, anyway, when the word is implanted, then there is fruit. And what's another word for
embedded.
What happened?
Life.
There is what?
It's just life.
Yeah.
It's fruit.
Yeah.
Well,
we have a lot of transformation.
You know, because as the word becomes, and we know because most of us here have been Christians for a long time, that, you know, when we first learned the word, we had a lot of zeal and a lot of energy and that kind of stuff. And sometimes you'd make a lot of mistakes because that word of God wasn't, it was in you, it was implanted, but you didn't have a lot of it. You didn't have the, you know, the memory of all of you read. You didn't have the whole story. Yeah. But as we begin to grow, that begins to really govern our life. That implanted word inside of us begins to govern what we do and how we act and react to everything.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I think what's important about what you said is grow, because as a gardener, I know that roots will die if you don't feed them. Mm. Mm-hmm. They'll die if they don't have water or if they have bowls. You know, something can come and eat the roots. And so we have to keep in the word in order to let it grow in us.
Otherwise, the little boxes.
The little boxes,
yeah. Well, that's great. That's kind of where I ended up with that word transformation. That's a beautiful word. So really the teaching for this little section here is, you know, we must make a conscious decision to turn and discipline ourselves to focus on the Lord and turn away from fleshly anger and emotion and turn towards Jesus Christ in humility and receive the Word of God in the moment. All right, this is real time. And receive that Word that transforms our hearts and fires our obedience to Christ, that He would be glorified in you and through you. I mean, the aroma of Christ upon us is so absolutely dependent on that discipline and that focus and that implanted Word. I mean, amen. You know, those little scriptures are huge in the moment. Everything hangs in the balance. If you can get to that scripture. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what did Jesus do when Satan tempted him in the wilderness? Yep. He didn't come up with some philosophy, did he? He quoted the Word of God. Well, gee whiz. I mean, if he did that, what do we do? So that's excellent. And, you know, the outcome of that is you save your soul. You don't save it, but the implanted Word of God is able. You know, God is sufficient. And going, verse 18, of His own will He brought forth by the Word of truth. He brought us forth. You know, I just love that. It is the Spirit of God upon the Word of God that does the work of God and brings us into the kingdom. So, all right, verse 22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What do you recall is peculiar about this verse? And I'm going all the way back to week one.
Just look up for wisdom.
Too much writing in here.
I mean, it's not an absolute reflection, but it is, I think, pretty accurate about this particular verse.
Well, your faith should produce something, right?
Yeah. Yes. And that, guess what? That is the theme of the entire book of James. Remember, James is written to believers. It's not written to unbelievers. But this verse, it is the cornerstone scripture that presents the whole theme of the book of James. So it's like an axle that the whole thing turns on. So, just like, remember Ephesians, or that line we kept going back to? Ephesians is all about Christ and the church. Oh, yeah. That's, if you didn't remember anything else, remember that.
Yes.
If you want to find out about Christ and the church and the relationship there, then Ephesians. But here we have, what are you going to, put your money where your mouth is? And let's see something happen. So,
it's like that, what the meaning of the word here is. Remember when that study? The meaning of the word here is obey.
It's listen and obey.
Listen and obey.
Yes, it does not just hear it. In the Greek connotations, it carries it further.
Okay.
The whole definition of it is listen and obey.
Okay.
Walk your talk.
So be doers.
And it's just being changed here. Do not merely listen.
Yeah. So if you look at 21 and 22, there is kind of a three steps that you could discern in all that, three stages of experience that gives the fruit of a Christ-centered, obedient life. So what would those three steps be?
You have to remove all the filthiness.
Okay.
At least, and then have the Word. You implant Word.
Yes.
And rule you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then do it.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Yeah. One, two, three.
Mm-hmm. So.
We can't do it if we still have filthiness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like what you said about hearing. You know, real hearing that we're speaking of here is a whole lot more than just like hearing music in the distance while you're talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's not just white noise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you remember what Michael was saying, and I had said, hear with your heart, H-E-A-R. And then you have the cross at the end of heart.
Oh, my gosh. That's magnificent.
How's the H?
Me these things. It's so cool.
You know, I think it too is like my kids or myself or somebody, if you go, you say, I'm going to dedicate a half hour to the Word, and I go read it, and I leave, and I'm like, what did I just read?
Right? Don't you hate that?
No.
So am I just deceiving myself that I did my duty? And
yeah. Or is it it's like you punch a time clock.
That's why I take notes when I read.
Yeah.
But you never know, because what does the Spirit do? It's planted in you. You could sit there and say, I don't remember what I read. Mm. And then maybe a year from now, there's going to be a situation where somebody's put in front of you and that word is going to come out. Mm. And I find that, I
agree with what he said.
That's true.
I can't remember. I know I read it, but I don't remember when. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that I even knew that. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit just pops that right out. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Because he uses what's been planted.
Yeah. That's excellent.
That's the miracle every day.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Yeah. That's God.
And it's like, I was thinking along the same lines. Yeah. You know, it's so different sitting there. It's so nice and cozy in your little place with the Word of God. And you have your coffee and you're sitting there and you're telling, you know, pouring out all your little things to the Lord and everything. And then you go away and then you have to put some of that stuff into practice. And you don't know how to put it into practice until something happens.
Until it unfolds.
Somebody does something to make you really angry. And then you got to put it into practice.
Yeah.
And that's where you don't deceive yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, don't think that just because you had the quiet time in the morning and everything was really nice and you totally agreed, you totally got it, but then when something happens, are you putting it into practice?
Good.
And that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yes. So you've already answered the question.
Yeah,
what is the deception to which James is referring, and how have you seen this deception operative in your life? Or how have you seen God protect you from that deception? But what the deception is what?
I think that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he shows you any kind of things that doesn't add up or measure up or line up, in yourself. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit, because you could just be so deceived, but he shows you.
Yeah.
Your faith cannot grow until there's trials and suffering.
Yes. Because up until then, you have head knowledge, right?
Yep.
You have form.
Right.
But you have no content.
Right.
Now, I really think that there is such a journey that we are on where more and more of what we live is content of the intimacy with Christ.
A tree cannot grow strong until there's storms.
Yeah.
And
to
then
stress
the tree
it
is
and the roots. Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah, the deception is I'm going to show up at church, I'm going to smile and everything's fine, and then I'm going to go home. And that's it. It's like putting on deodorant.
Or you may not even know that, though.
Yeah.
You may not know that. You think you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit will show you. That's the gift.
Yeah.
You know,
good.
When you say, when it says, you know, show me my heart, Lord. Show me if there's any wicked way in me. And he will.
Nice. Good verse.
He loves
That's a biggie.
He loves
but
to show
the truth sets you free.
Absolutely.
And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Good deal. All right.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the lie that we believe is really a burden. I mean, we put a lot of stuff upon ourselves that's not necessary, believing the lie.
Good for you.
You don't have to pretend, you know, and put on makeup and look good to the world.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't have to hide.
No.
Yeah.
You know, our flesh wants to hide, and the Holy Spirit keeps saying, no, let's just bring this out and set it on the table. Let the Lord heal you and get over it. It's so great.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's go to 23:24, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, so this is what we sort of defined as someone being deceived. He is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and at once forget what he looks like. And so the question is, how is the Word of God like a mirror?
Like what Bill was just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So when you look in the mirror of God's Word, the Word says, you're mine, I love you, you're righteous, you're loved, you're changed, right?
Yeah.
But when you stop looking into the mirror, you know, well, you quickly forget who you are in Christ, right?
Yeah.
But he's so he's saying if you're a doer, that won't happen. Is that essentially what he's saying?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it's gonna there's content there now.
Mm-hmm. Right? Wow, I never looked at it that way.
You looked at it the other. How did you look at it?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
But it's so both, though. So.
I get it. I never saw that. Yeah. I never read that verse that way.
Yeah.
So it's who you are in Christ. You forget who you are in Christ.
Yeah. Because the little voice inside of you has said, you stink, you're a loser, you're never going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
guess what?
Beautiful.
Look in the mirror and see, guess what? The garments of salvation are upon you, the robe of righteousness.
When you have the Spirit in you, you're going to be looking at yourself through Christ's eyes.
Right.
Bingo.
Yeah. And what he says is beautiful.
Yeah.
And he loves us.
Yeah.
And it's we've got to keep remembering that because our own eyes are just going to lie to us.
I think it helps, too, to understand that when the Word convicts you.
Okay, that's the other side.
Mm-hmm. When the Word convicts you, that you do have that love surrounding you.
Yeah.
It's done for a purpose.
Good.
I mean, I knew somebody once, this is a quick story, who read his Bible, and there would be people's names in the margin because he would look at that verse and say, that person does that all the time. But he never looked at himself. So everybody else's name was in the margins, but he wasn't looking at the mirror at himself.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is perfect for that because
that's
the Word isn't convicting you about somebody else, ever. It's usually it's always going to be
it's
yourself.
About you.
And the other thing I'm just going to throw this out there. That word for man in that verse, anyone, is like a man who looks at his face. The Greek word is A-N-E-R. And it's a masculine noun. Just throwing it out there. It's also used in 1 Corinthians when it's talking about a husband. So does this mean that we're off the hook? No, I don't think so. But does it mean,
well, you, does it mean that? You guys spend more time in front of the mirror.
Well, right? Does it mean that women are more sensitive? Right. I don't know what that means. But I'm just throwing out that I didn't have time to look at that. But
that's
that word is a masculine noun. It means of a husband, of a male.
Wow.
In Greek. So
more responsibility on your shoulders, you guys.
Yeah.
Well, we can be encouraged when we look in the mirror, but we can also be convicted when we look in the mirror. All right. Again, the Spirit of God upon the Word of God does the work of God. If there's some area that God wants to address in your life, go through the Word of God
and
open yourself up.
It hit me when Tansy was talking about sitting there in the morning, quietly. It's everything is quiet. It's like 6 o'clock. The sun is coming up. You don't see the hustle and bustle of the world. You're just in the Word, and then you go to work.
And then
the Spirit says, "You're getting convicted now, boy, because all of a sudden you're into the world now, and you have to follow what you read." In that word in the morning, you got to keep that in your heart and try to follow that.
Amen.
And it just hit me as the minute you close that book, you start to prepare yourself for the world. You start to maybe put on the world sometimes.
Yeah,
and that's when you get convicted. No, don't put on the mantle of the world. Put on my mantle. Put on my yoke.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
All right, I want to get to verse 25 here to close. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law." The law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. So, what do you see? What verb captures your attention in the first part of that verse? What is that a picture of?
Yes, continue.
There's a persevering, but even before that, it's he who what?
Looks. Intently. I've got looks intently.
Looks, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Very interesting verb. In the Greek, and I was going to put it down there for a bit.
Examine.
What's that?
Examine.
Yeah.
Examines himself.
Yeah, it's the Greek word is P-A-R-A-K-Y-P-S-A-S, parakypsis. And it literally means to bend over to get a closer look at something, to examine it.
I have found in the past someone said something to me once, and I said, that's not true, And I said, Holy Spirit, is there truth in this? And the Holy Spirit will show you if there's truth in this.
Good.
Because sometimes we are so blind to what we're really doing, the reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
Because of our belief system.
Yeah.
How we were raised.
And yeah.
How we were taught.
Yeah. But there is an intensity here. This very same word is used when Mary is stooping down to look into the tomb to see if Jesus was raised. So you can imagine her intensity. Well, this is how we are to look into the Word of God. There is supposed to be.
You know, I think of a mirror and you have two sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're trying to find a little here and you can't see with the regular eyes, and you have the magnifying side of the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, and then you see closely.
Yeah, you see every...
then you go...
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, who is that?
All of a sudden, you're there in HD.
So the perfect law is what James is referring to. What do you think? What is the perfect law? What do you think that's all about?
Mine says the law of liberty.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. See, you
it
got
sets you free.
Yes. Excellent. The law is it's really God's law, but who fulfills God's law in totality? It's what?
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's love.
Yeah.
Jesus is love.
Well, there is no law.
At the time it was written, there was only Old Testament, right? And
right.
The teachings of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. So the law at that time was the Old Testament.
Yes.
Written.
Yeah. But God's law is perfect.
Right.
But, you know, in 5:17, Jesus says, I did not come to what?
Abolish
the law, but to fulfill the law. Mm-hmm. So that's the key. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing, this law of liberty that Michelle has spoken of. You know, what are we being liberated from?
The lies that we believe.
That
from slavery.
Yeah, sin and death.
Yeah.
Of sin.
Yeah, and I took you to John 8:34-36, and someone can read that, and we'll close. Great little three verses there to sow into your soul. Somebody go ahead.
34-36.
Mm-hmm. John 8.
Jesus said, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
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 I love the indeed. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in the indeed. Mm-hmm. And you can go through your life and cite specific examples. You know, what have you experienced in your own life? What kind of liberation have you seen? You know, we could have a whole session on just testimony about, you know, the work gets done.
It does.
It really does. You're not the same as you were a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
At the end of that verse, I wrote down Romans 1:16.
Okay, go ahead.
I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes.
Bingo. Nice. Yeah. All righty. We're out of time, but the last part there was how does perseverance factor into the blessing that is received when hearing is linking to doing. And it really does boil down to what we've been talking about, where there's focus. You know, Jesus, as we focus on him, he will pull us through the time of trial. As we persevere, we're going to find that we have all that we need, and we're sanctified as we persevere, and Jesus is glorified. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, we just thank you that you have designed us to need you every minute of every single day. So, Lord, we praise you that your word is sufficient for our every need. Lord, we thank you that when that word is implanted, there is a divine chemistry that you do, that only you can do.
That's right.
And our want-tos change. We still do we do what we want to, and the stuff that, or we don't do what we used to want to do, but our want to's now are to please you. So God, we praise you for this time together. Help us to consider deeply the specific areas that you have for us to examine. And we're just so grateful to be together before you here this morning. We ask that your aroma would really be upon us as we move into the worship time. Lord, that there would be a beholding of you, that there would be a humility and an openness to worship and see your glory. And then, Lord, may we put into practice this very hour to come the listening to your word from Michael's lips. May it be an implantation that is truly transformative. Lord, you know our need more than any of us will ever know. So God, just reap the harvest that you're looking for. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll do it to your glory and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.